Hi, y'all, and welcome to the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast. And that's nutritionist with an S, since there's two of us. We're your hosts, Stephanie and Mandy.
We all know that nutrition and fitness information can be overwhelming and confusing.
So we're here to help women find real answers for all things fitness and nutrition related by giving you quick tips and strategies so you can find your healthy weight, get fit, and improve your physical and mental health.
And as registered dietitians, we know how nutrition and exercise can help you feel better and allow you to live your healthiest and happiest life. So be sure and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the episodes full of great tips and helpful information we have just for you. You can also join us in our private Facebook group, the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, where we will provide fun challenges, answer your questions, and support women along their journey to a better health. So grab a glass of water and let's get moving with today's topic.
Hi, y'all, and welcome back to the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast. In our first episode, we talked about the 10 factors that can affect health and weight. And then in episode number two, we went deep into exercise. And for episode number three, we're talking all about sleep. I don't know about you, but this is probably the area that I struggle with the most as far as these puzzle pieces. So I just want to ask you, do you think you're getting enough sleep? Could you use some tips on finding out how you can improve your sleep? So that's what we're going to talk about today, because I think you will see at the end of this episode that sleep plays probably a more important role in your weight and your overall health than you probably thought.
Yeah, so we talked about on the first episode, the recommendation for sleep for 18 to 65 year olds was 7 to 9 hours. And like you said, we probably all struggle with meeting that recommendation, but poor sleep negatively affects so many different things in our body. And we're going to go into a few of those deeper in just a bit. But a few of those factors can be, it increases our risk for heart disease. It can also lead to a stroke, depression, type 2 diabetes, and inflammation into our body. So there's just a few things that it can do. But good sleep can help us eat fewer calories. So there's a positive for getting more sleep.
Yeah, and 9 hours of sleep sounds wonderful to me, Mandy.
Yeah, I don't think we would ever get 9.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about hormonally what is going on. So we have two hormones that we touched on in a previous episode, but we have ghrelin and leptin. And when we are sleep deprived, we're not getting the sleep that our body needs, our levels of ghrelin increase. And this is the hormone that makes us hungry. So, you know, who wants to feel hungrier than what they really need to feel? And then our levels of leptin, which is the hormone that makes us feel full, actually goes down. So when I tell women, you know, how important sleep is, if we just say, hey, you need to get more sleep, we all kind of roll our eyes, right? But when you let them know that sleep, whether it's adequate sleep or inadequate, can actually affect hormones that can then affect their weight, they kind of perk up a little bit and pay a little bit more attention. So it's just a good reminder for all of us. So when those hormones are out of whack, it can lead you to feeling hungrier than you would if you had adequate sleep. And then as a result, this can lead you to eat more than what you need. And when you eat more than what you need on a continuous basis, then that can lead to, of course, weight gain.
Yeah, and that's one of those negative side effects of not getting enough sleep. And it leads to other negative side effects. So sleep can also affect how our body responds to insulin. Insulin is that hormone that controls our body's blood glucose levels. And when you don't get enough sleep, your normal blood glucose levels can be higher, which will raise your chance of getting diabetes. Typically, for us older adults, it's what we call type 2 diabetes. It's when that fat starts blocking those receptor cells of the pancreas, and it just will not let that insulin out. So if you can imagine fat blocking certain things because we're not getting enough sleep, we're overeating, we have too much fat on the inside. So therefore, it's kind of like that domino effect, you know, like when you were a kid, you would put all those little dominoes into a row and then push it over and it goes plink, 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 plink. That's exactly how it is.
And then also when you're sleep deprived, it can also affect your immune system. So when you do not have enough sleep, your immune system is reduced and therefore your body cannot fight off infections as easily as it normally would. And in this day and age right now, you know, we're all about trying to keep our immune systems as healthy as they should be and functioning as well as they can be. The other thing I want to talk about that I really stress with women when we're trying to lose weight or, you know, improve our health is when you're asleep, this is also when your body releases the hormone that helps you build and repair your body's cells and tissues. So if you're, you know, like I said, again, eating good, you're doing strength training, you're getting your cardio in and you're doing all these things, you know, you're trying to build muscle, which that happens by getting little microscopic tears in your muscles. Well, when you're sleeping is when all this goes to rebuild and to make you stronger and healthier. But if you're exerting yourself during the day, trying to build, you know, doing your workouts, but then you're shortchanging yourself at night, you're not allowing your body to go in and do the work that you're asking it to do. So that's another reason why getting enough sleep can really help you, you know, build the muscle you need and let your body be healing and repairing itself. It does that while we're resting.
Yeah. And another positive thing to adequate sleep is that we also have increased production and concentration. So whether we work, we don't work, we have kids, you know, we always need that improved concentration and production.
Yeah, I'll take that any day.
I know, me too.
Yeah, now let's go over with our listeners five ways that you can improve your sleep. Because like I said, who couldn't use this? So I'll touch on number one is being sure that you're getting enough exercise during the day. So being physically active during the day can actually help you sleep better at night. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? If you're not doing anything during the day, you're not exerting yourself, you're not burning off energy, then, you know, not a whole lot of reason to truly be tired at night. So be sure that you're getting in that recommended amount of exercise each day and moving your body. So come nighttime, it's ready to rest and recover.
Yeah. And you can check out episode 2. We went into depth on exercise and stuff. So our second one is avoid stimulants such as caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine too close to bedtime. So this is pretty much a given. I mean, we know that caffeine, alcohol, if we drink those too close to bedtime, you know, it keeps us more awake. But, you know, there's things we can do like drinking maybe some chamomile tea to help relax us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody's different in response to this differently. Like I love to enjoy, I have a latte most every day of the week. I make it at home and it's just something that I enjoy. I kind of use it in the afternoon to kind of give myself a little mental break and as a stress reliever also. But I was starting to drink that a lot later in the day because I wasn't wanting to stop work. And so I started struggling with not sleeping as well at night. And so I moved my latte up a couple hours in the afternoon and I am seeing some improvement in that. And everybody responds to caffeine and things differently. But if you are struggling with getting adequate sleep, yeah, just look at what time of the day that you are drinking that coffee or alcohol or getting any nicotine or other stimulants.
Yeah, those are some good points. It's identifying what affects you and what doesn't affect you. And you do make some good lattes, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So tip number 3 is just establishing an evening routine and allowing your body time to wind down. Now, when I talk about this in my group, I always say, you know, those of us who've had kids or have toddlers right now, we teach them that. We establish a routine for them so it makes it easier to get them in bed at night, right? And for them to stay in bed. So whether that's, you know, you have supper and then you play for a little bit and then it's time for their bath and then you read a book and then they, you know, your body learns what's coming next. And just like we do that for our kids, to transition into bedtime easier, you know, we're no different as far as that goes. So learning those things that you can do in the evening to kind of signal your body and your mind that it's time to start cooling down some and slowing down, you know, what worked for them can work for us. Just, and whatever that may be, you know, for some people, that's a bubble bath. For me, that would not be relaxing for me. That would actually probably stress me out even more if I thought about having to get in a bubble bath. But, you know, for me, it's reading a book, where somebody else might think, oh, reading a book? No, thank you. So it's finding what works for you and just establishing that pattern and letting your body know, you know, signaling that it's time for it, that it's time to sleep.
Yeah. Number four, this is a biggie right now. So avoiding bright lights. So that can include the TV, your iPad, your telephone, your computer screen. And we have a lot of visual activities that we do now, especially our kids. Well, even us adults, they're like, we're on our computer or we're on our phone up until we go to bed, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, watching a movie. And that triggers our brain to stay connected. Mm-hmm. And so when we're like, oh, it's time to go to bed, it's 10 o'clock, and we go lay down, our brain just doesn't shut off like it should. So you could always wear blue light glasses to help. And this, people even do this while they're working too, because the UV lights that they work with at work are hard on their eyes, and it can just be overstimulating. What do you think, Stephanie?
Yeah, I totally agree. My kids actually showed me how to put the nighttime mode on your iPhone too, if you're looking at that. So that's something you can do. But again, just avoiding anything, any of those bright lights too close to bedtime.
And limiting it for your kids.
Yeah. And then the fifth thing is just keeping your sleep environment cool. And I used to always be cold and freezing, and I would have the thermostat, you know, up really, really high. And my husband would be like, turn that down. And then, you know, as I started learning more and more about sleep and doing research, it has been proven that a cooler sleep environment can actually help you fall asleep and get more beneficial sleep than tossing and turning and waking up hot during the night. So those are those five things: being sure you're getting enough exercise, avoid stimulants too close to bedtime, establish an evening routine, avoiding bright light too close to bedtime, and then keeping your sleep environment cool. So I hope that you find those five tips helpful and realize a little bit more now the role that sleep plays. If you're looking at losing weight or just trying to improve your overall health, it's not something that people are just throwing out there, but it can dysregulate your hormones and things like that. So I hope that you will look at some of these things, pick one or two of these that you can work on for the upcoming week and start implementing those. And then, you know, let us know in the comments something that might work for you that we didn't mention. Because like we said, it's finding what helps you out. We'd love to hear that. You can join us in our private Facebook group, the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, and leave a comment there and just tell us you heard this episode. And we'd love to hear your feedback and the things that you found work for you. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you gained a little more info to help you along your journey to your best life. We would love it if you would take just a minute to rate this podcast and share it with your family and friends. And as always, let us know if you have anything you would like us to talk about on any future episodes.
And don't forget, go to the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, our private Facebook group, where we'll have those fun challenges. We'll answer your questions and support women along their journey to a better health.
You can also contact us on our website at thefitnessnutritionist.com. And that's nutritionist with an S. And just remember, ladies, you are worth it.